You're listening to Syntax, the podcast with the tastiest web development treats out there. Strap yourself in and get ready. Here is Scott Tolensky and Wes Boss.
Welcome to Syntax. In this episode, we're going to be talking all about static site generators, which is a topic, something that's been around for a little while at this point, but is certainly heating up quite a bit fairly recently. People are starting to really find out all of the benefits. This episode is sponsored by two relevant sponsors, one of which is relevant because that time of year, it is tax time. This episode is sponsored by FreshBooks, and it's also sponsored by a company called Netlify, which does excellent, excellent hosting all around and lots of other services for static site generators, amongst other things. So we'll get into both of our sponsors a little bit later, a little bit more in depth. With me, as always, is Wes Boss. How are you doing today, Wes?
I'm doing great. It's starting to warm up around here in Canada, which I'm really excited. It's a little unseasonably warm, so I'm super excited about that. All the snow has melted, and I'm able to take off the parka for once in my life.
Hey, that's great.
Yeah, what about you? How you doing?
I'm doing good. I am recording on a new microphone and an entirely new setup today. This is the first recording I have done with this setup. I haven't done any tutorials, I've done tests, but I'm slightly worried that it's not going to come out perfectly. You know how things always take some time tweaking. So in addition to that, I'm getting over a cold for the 100th time this year. So if for some reason this audio is not great, that is why, but it will be tweaked. Hopefully it sounds nice and buttery.
Yeah, sounds good to me. And You want to drop what equipment you got real quick? I'm sure people are interested in that.
Yeah, the microphone is an Electro Voice RE20. It's sort of like a classic voiceover mic. A lot of people in NPR use it. It's definitely like a radio sort of style microphone. Definitely pretty good on the low end of things. I think it suits my voice pretty nicely. I had a couple of choices. I had a really nice mic before, which is the Shure KSM 32, which is a really nice mic, but for this kind of thing, it was a condenser mic. It was picking up a ton of noise, any sort of thing outside or whatever, air conditioning noise or whatever. It was just way too sensitive. So this is going to be, it's a dynamic mic. It's going to be a little bit more directional, a little bit better, I think, for this. I also picked up a 286S, which is just a preamp that includes a bunch of other things, such as a compressor, a de-esser, an enhancer, an expander, and gate. And this is just sort of to gate out some of the noise, as well as this mic in particular. It needs better preamps to boost it. If you were to go straight from this mic into your interface, it would actually be, the signal would be pretty quiet, and by the time you boosted it, it might introduce some noise. So pretty much anyone who's used this mic says you need a preamp. You need a better preamp to sort of boost the signal. And what better preamp than the one that Wes Boss uses to gate out all of the noise and all that stuff?
Yeah, man, I bought this thing maybe 2 years ago. I bought it right after I released my first React for Beginners
series.
And now it's coming out for the third time this week. So I've had it for maybe 2 years now. And it's awesome because I don't have to spend any time in post messing with my audio. It just comes in clean once you twist the knobs in the right direction.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to a little bit more of that because I've had to do so much post-production of my audio to remove AC noise or just background noise in general, picked up my computer fan and all sorts of stuff. I was just really struggling to process that signal in a good way. And hopefully this is an improvement in that department.
Yeah, totally. It's expensive equipment, but I think it's worth it in the long run where you don't spend as much time messing with your audio.
Yeah, absolutely.
And plus, when you have Skype calls with people, they're always like, "Wow, you sound great."
Yeah, I know. People always do that already when I bust out the fancy mic, and they're just like, "Oh man, we're using our computer mic. You sound so good over there."
Yeah, we're using a computer mic, and we're in some hipster office where it's all glass, and It's so echoey.
It's the classic right there.
It's brutal. So let's talk real quick about the winners to the Syntax. Two episodes ago, we did a Tasty Treats where you posted a screenshot of what you're listening to, both to Twitter and Instagram. And thanks so much to everyone who entered and did that. It was kind of cool because it gives us a better idea of like who's listening. And then it also gives us like a kind of a interesting idea of like when do people listen, both at what time of day, as well as like we did it for 2 weeks and people are still posting daily. So it's kind of interesting to see people not necessarily listen to it on the day it comes out, but over the next kind of couple weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. That was surprising to me too, just how many came in every single day. You know, it was very consistent.
Yeah. So keep doing it. It's kind of neat to see people hashtagging Big Zips and hashtagging Tasty Treats.
Nice.
So our winners are Khaled Garbaya.
So that's Instagram?
That was for Instagram. So congrats there. And the winner on Twitter was Dallas Thiel, which he posted a kind of a cool photo of listening in his car, which I realized that a lot of cars, it looks like he has CarPlay, but a lot of cars pull the information about the podcast from the ID3 tags of an MP3. And I forgot to put those in for a couple episodes. So sometimes it just says unknown, and apologies for that. They won't show that anymore.
Oh yeah. Nice. I could even maybe put that up earlier in the workflow and just set it as the defaults in the editor.
That might
be nice.
It's more because, our podcast host, takes the MP3 and then it will take the details of the podcast and put it like the title and everything, and then it'll put it into the ID3 tag for us. It's just a little checkbox I sometimes forget to hit.
Okay, yeah. Word. Okay, cool. So today, is that it for the
yep.
for the winners? Congratulations to our winners, by the way. Congrats. Also, I should note, we didn't pick these people based on their post specifically. We did a randomized selection.
It was random.
Yeah. So if you felt like your post was really hilarious, chances are it was really hilarious and we loved it. So sorry about that if you had a great one and we didn't pick
Maybe
you.
We'll do another one at some point for the best post.
Yeah.
Not a random post.
Yeah. I think that's in order.
You know, props to the guy who posted in the shower as well. That was great.
I think that might have been my favorite one. That's hilarious. So today we're talking all about static site generators. And this topic has been sort of hot lately. It's been hot for a long time, though, if you've been paying attention to this sort of thing. I don't remember which was the first IT static site generator. I feel like it was probably Jekyll. And the way these things work is, let's go into what a static site generator is. It takes your files and produces a static site, which a static site is one of which is really just HTML and JavaScript and CSS or whatever code that lives as files. I mean, you could open these files up in your browser without a server to host them on and they would still work, right? I mean, this is a truly, the build process builds out the site, it spits you out your code, and you have that code, just like an old school website that you could have coded by hand. The only difference is that they are so much more powerful in so many ways than a website that you would have coded by hand back in the day.
Yeah, I still remember the old days of using frames, because if you wanted a header, you would have to have header.html. And if you were to include that in every single file, then obviously if you wanted to update your header, you'd have to go through every single file and update it. So a static site generator gets away from all of the sort of downsides to having a static site, which is manually editing thousands of files, and brings you all the benefits of having a static site, which is this thing is just HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, and it can literally run anywhere.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, some of those things, it's like being able to use all of the tools you know and love without having to necessarily rely on some of these like heavier platforms, right? Like you can have a React site and you can have it be SEO compliant and essentially, I mean, not I mean, you would call it server-side rendered or whatever, but have that code actually in the DOM without having to have a express server that's handling this hydration and server-side rendering and all that stuff in like a much more complex setup that honestly kind of becomes a huge pain for some really basic sites. And I think there's just a whole class of websites. I mean, I think the amount of websites that could benefit from a static site generator are just much larger than maybe what some people have in their minds is like what you would use this for.
Yeah. So why don't we talk about, you want to talk about some of the benefits of a static site generator?
Yeah, let's do that.
So, or maybe we should talk about like our experience with static site generators in the past. So I actually haven't built a static site in, I don't know, maybe about a year and a half. Before that I had built a number of different large-scale websites, all based on static site generators. It kind of opened my eyes to static site generators are not just these kind of like personal websites where you're a developer and you have your whole website on GitHub and it's regenerated every single time you make a change. But this is actually viable for larger websites because, and even when you, we'll talk about like, even if you have e-commerce or dynamic data or any of that stuff, you can still do that with a static site generator. So you, and obviously you're working on some Gatsby tutorials right now, right?
Yeah. I just wrapped up. I'm like a couple of videos away from editing like the last video in this series, which is Pro Gatsby. Gatsby is obviously this... not obviously. Gatsby is a new static site generator that came on the scene sometime last year. And when it dropped, I think people got really excited about it because it's React-based. You write everything in React. You use the tools you're familiar with, like React Router, and it uses GraphQL as its data layer. And then it takes everything in and just spits out a static site. And I found working in Gatsby to be really just awesome. So, I've been working on the series Pro Gatsby that covers all sorts of different ways for working in Gatsby. And that's really my extent of static site generators. I've never used Jekyll or Hugo or any of these other static site generators that have been popular in the past. I never used any of them. And then when I did find out about Gatsby, it was like, wow, this is great for a lot of reasons. So that's pretty much my experience. I have my site in Gatsby, but I plan on doing a lot more with Gatsby overall. I've built a few client sites in Gatsby. And that's really my extent of my professional work, or at least not like tinkering with these static site generators.
Yeah. So what are the benefits of going static? First of all, it's super fast because at the end of the day, what you are getting when you generate a static site is you're just getting a folder full of HTML files. It uses like the directory structure to do routing. So if you had a file called like /about/dog, you would actually have a folder called about and actually have a folder called dog. And inside of that, you'd have an index.html, just like probably the first days when you started to learn how to code. That's exactly how we did it. And that's amazing because you never have to, you don't have to babysit a server. You know that these things aren't going to go out of date, or you know how like tech sort of seems to rot. And even though if you don't touch anything, it will go down and break at some point. It kind of makes me look back at the old days where you can still go back to some of these websites that were made 20 years ago in HTML and they will still work.
Yeah. I think that's like one of those things where there's like the less things that can break, the less things that will break. And that's definitely, there's way less things that can break in a site that's just some static files, right? You don't have a server component that needs to, that could potentially break or any of that sort of stuff. So I think that's definitely one of the huge plus sides. Well, one of the biggest things for me is just how insanely fast they are. A lot of these sites, whether it's Gatsby or Jekyll or Hugo or whatever, we'll get into some of the different ones that exist. They are very, very, very fast. They load almost instantly. There was a point in my Gatsby tutorial series where I like did a refresh to talk about like the production speed, and like literally half the content on the page, due to caching and other things, doesn't even flash. Like when you hit the refresh button, it's like the big image reloaded temporarily, but then like everything else didn't even leave the page. The actual loading times on these sites or that what they can be is absolutely phenomenal. And I think Gatsby is one of those things that's like really, really seen that sort of speed take off. And people have just, I think it's a wow factor when you hit a site on Gatsby and you're just like, wow, this thing loaded in, you know, like, I don't, is it 100 milliseconds or 1 millisecond? I like don't know when it's a 100.
Yeah. 100 milliseconds 100 is a very fast website. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's insane. Some of the loading times you get from these things.
Yeah, they're also extremely secure. As I wouldn't say like they're impenetrable, but if you have no back end that could possibly be hacked or serve up something bad, then you take a whole aspect out of the security question, where it's just HTML being served to the website. Obviously, you still could have your server hacked. You could have that JavaScript changed for being delivered to your users, but there's a whole lot less going on there when you don't have to worry about having a backend and databases and securing routes and all that stuff. It's just HTML being served up to the page.
Yeah. I mean, let's think about some of the most common ways WordPress sites are hacked, which is people searching for that WP admin link, or people just like trying to find out if it's WordPress. I have a server, and if you've ever checked the server logs, you can occasionally see all these errors where people are just hitting what are common exploits in WordPress packages. So you'll just see like a flurry of links before they get banned, where people are just like searching for whatever these common WordPress exploits would be to be able to get into your site. Now, the cool thing is because if you're using a static site generator with something like WordPress as your backend, which we'll get into in a little bit, they will have no clue. I mean, there's no connection to WordPress at all. There's literally no connection. And so because of that, the users that are hitting your site or whatever, they're not going to be able to search for those URLs. They're not even going to be able to know that the backend was ever done in WordPress at all. I mean, they would have no clue. And that is a huge boost in security. So let's talk about some of the static sites that exist, or static site generators that exist. I found this site, staticgen.com, which lists out all of these static site generators to use. And I was, I scrolled, and then I scrolled, and then I scrolled, and I scrolled and scrolled and scrolled and scrolled, because there is, I don't know how to express how many different static site generators. There is more than you can possibly count on this page. I mean, you could probably run a script to count them, but I don't want to.
The static site generators is such a hilarious thing that it seems like every single developer at some point in their life thinks that they're going to build a static site generator that is the end to all static site generators. And then before you know it, you've got 40,000 static site generators.
Yeah. So I guess let's talk about some of the big dogs. And then if we leave out your favorite big dog, you can let us know what your favorite big dog is. hashtag running with the big dogs. Do you remember those shirts? I love those shirts.
No. Well, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Just Google. Sometime Google running with the big dogs. I feel like at one point there was like a running with the big dog store in the mall. These shirts are ridiculous. They were like a cultural trend in the United States in the 90s at some point. apparently didn't make it up north. So some of these static sites are, we have Jekyll, which is Ruby based, which has really been around for a long time at this point. It has 33,000 stars on GitHub, to give you an idea. Jekyll is very widely used. It has been used for a long time, and I think it was probably the first static site generator that made people pay attention to this sort of thing. I could be wrong about that, but in my mind, from what I've seen, that was the case.
Yeah, the reason behind it is because you can deploy a Jekyll website to GitHub pages, and GitHub will generate and will do the whole compiling of your static site generator for you. So if you wanted to have a website that was like you can have like custom generation, you can still deploy that sucker to GitHub Pages and host it for free, which is pretty sweet. That's not true for any other static site generator.
Yeah. And then next we have Hugo, which I have not used Hugo. It's Go based on the name Hugo. So I have not even, I've done a little bit of a toying around with the Go language, but I haven't done any serious work with it. And I have not used Hugo at all. Do you have any experience with this?
Not at all. I do have something funny to say though. My parents' dog's name is Hugo.
Nice.
Hugo Boss, get it?
Oh yeah. That's dope.
But in terms of the language Go, no, I've never used it. Many people say I should. But I've also never used the Hugo either, but it seems like it's super popular.
Yeah, I mean, from the looks of it, there's hundreds of themes. It looks very, very, very capable. They have a big numbers. They have 23,000 stars on GitHub. So again, this is a very popular static site generator, and it's funny, these two most popular ones are the three most popular ones according to these GitHub stats. I have not used, and I'm gushing about static site generators over here. So there's a lot here. I mean, there's literally a static site generator for you if you want to check it out.
That's okay. We should also say you don't necessarily need to know these languages in order to use them, because they're generally come pre-configured. They generally have the ability to add all sorts of plugins for different things that you might want, and it's more about how you use them than having to actually code anything yourself. It generally is you just drop in a whole bunch of markdown or a whole bunch of files, a whole bunch of configuration into these folders, and you run the build command and it will spit out a website on the other end.
Yeah, and they might be good introductions because it looks like Hugo uses Go templates for their like templating language. So it might be like a good introduction to some of these technologies if you're interested in learning Go. It might be like a softer, easier introduction to some of that stuff. Next up is Hexo, which seems like it's trying to play off the Hugo name. They have a very similar logo. It's just a different color. This is a JavaScript-based static site generator that uses EJS or Pug for their templates. Again, I have not used this one, but you know, from their website and from their statistics, it looks very, very capable. They have 20,000 plus stars on GitHub. Have you seen this one?
I've seen it. I've never used it. I know that it's fairly popular. I'm a big fan of Pug, so that would totally win me over on that end if I were ever looking at it. But the fact that Gatsby has sort of just come out of nowhere, which in the last, like, how long has Gatsby been around for? Like, just over a year, maybe?
I don't even know if it's been a year. I could confirm that. I had, like, when it was released, I put out my, like, first look at Gatsby tutorial. It was, like, right when they did their initial beta testing or initial, yeah, like, beta release. And I don't remember. I feel like those videos weren't that long ago. They have some statistics here, although it doesn't look like it goes back very far. But yeah, it really hasn't been very long at all.
Yeah, it's I'm so impressed by it. And I also really like the idea of writing everything in a React component. So if you did need to share a React component between a static site as well as another application that you're using, you can totally do that.
Yeah, I guess so. At this point, let's get into Gatsby then. So Gatsby has 19,000 stars on GitHub. It has not been around for very long. It uses React as its templating language. It's JavaScript based. I believe it uses Webpack under the hood. It also uses the tools that you know, like React Router, that sort of stuff. And it uses GraphQL as its data layer, as in, like, if you are going to be bringing content in from APIs to be generated into this, or markdown files or whatever, it uses GraphQL. So it uses all this fancy new tech to build really excellent static sites. And let me tell you, like, the speed that they advertise for these sites on Gatsby is just these things are just blazingly fast, just like it says here. And I say this all as someone who is about to release a course on Gatsby called Pro Gatsby out later this week at leveluptutorials.com. But like, I honestly would not be gushing or whatever or any of this stuff if this isn't honestly how I felt. I built my site in Gatsby and was like instantly blown away. And all you got to do is go to their showcase and click around on their GitHub page to look at their showcase and just see some of these sites and look at who's building sites in Gatsby. I mean, reactjs.org built in Gatsby. So if it's good enough for reactjs.org, it is good enough for me.
That's pretty cool. And I also think, like, I think JavaScript apps and static site generators are a bit of a match made in heaven, because over the past couple of years, as we build more complicated applications, what's starting to happen is that everything is actually happening in the browser anyways. A lot of your routing is happening in the browser. A lot of your interaction, file uploading can even be done in the browser. All of these things that you used to just need a server for. There, obviously, we'll talk about some of the use cases where you still do need a server. But I think people are moving over to them now because of the simplicity and because their server is really not doing all that much at the end of the day, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that is like the killer feature of all of these is it's just incredible. And again, like you mentioned already, getting to reuse some of the tools that you know and love. I mean, the React package ecosystem is so huge at this point. You can use any of that stuff in your static site generator and build some really fancy stuff.
I should also mention that Next.js, which I'm a big fan of. So Next.js is the... what is it? The React server rendered framework from Zeit. And they also have an option where you can, like when you deploy it, they spin up a tiny little express server that sort of handles the routing and the passing the requests to the actual server. But you can just create a routing config file and then you can generate all the static HTML and JavaScript that's needed, and you can deploy your Next.js site as an actual just static site, which is pretty neat.
Nice. And before we move off of this topic of which flavors they come into, I do want to shout out Nuxt, which is a new hot one as well, which is a Vue framework based static site generator. It's got 10,000 stars on GitHub. It's definitely one of the new big dogs. It uses, like I said, Vue.js. So the Vue crowd, if you're looking for your static site generator, if you're like, I love the idea of Gatsby, but it's React. Check out Nuxt. NUXTJS.org. This one definitely looks promising. I haven't used it myself. Can't talk too much about it. And that said, we've been talking about doing this episode on Vue.js, where since Wes and I both don't use Vue, we were going to do like a mini app that we were just going to both code and just report back on our findings in an episode. If that's something that you'd be interested, let us know. We got some pretty good feedback on that already.
Yeah, I think that's going to be super fun because, like, I've heard such good things about Vue and I've heard such good things about Nuxt, which is the reason why it's called Nuxt is because it's the equivalent of Next in Vue, so, which is kind of a funny name. I really like that.
Yeah, right.
But if we do the Vue app, I'm definitely going to be using Nuxt because both in React land and everywhere, I'm so sick of build tools and complexity and configuring things and just the beauty of using Next.js has just been, I've just been so in love with it. So I definitely would like something like that in Vue world as well.
Yeah, I love that stuff too. Cool. So I think it's a good time to hear from one of our sponsors. Our first sponsor today is Netlify. This is an extremely relevant sponsor for this episode. Netlify does hosting for sites, and their whole sort of slogan here is write front-end code, push it, we handle the rest. And Netlify, when they say they handle the rest, they handle the CDN, they handle, they have an easy command line utility, they give you a one-click SSL, which we all know that SSL is becoming way, 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 way more important. So that one-click SSL sort of takes the headache out of having an SSL. Who doesn't love that? It's easy to scale. There's extreme caching. There's continuous deployment. There's pre-rendering. You can roll back your applications. And on top of that, like, it makes working with these static site generators a dream. So let me like tell you the process of getting a Gatsby site up onto Netlify. You push your Gatsby site to your GitHub page, okay? Or not even to your GitHub page. You push it to a GitHub repo, or it could be a Bitbucket or GitLab or whatever. You log in to Netlify. You log into your GitHub account through Netlify. you select the repo and you hit go. And Netlify understands that your repo is a Gatsby site. And it understands you don't have to set up the build tool or anything. It's going to automatically, without you having to even tell it, it's a Gatsby site, set up the build, build it. And anytime you push to that repo, it's going to build a new site for you. And you can have easily set up your custom domains, SSL, all that stuff. Hosting a static site with all of these features has never been this easy. It is absolutely incredible. I was completely blown away by it. I was using this service in my upcoming Pro Gatsby course, and I had to put a disclaimer in the course that this video is not an advertisement, because I was talking so like positively about it.
I always love when you have to be like, no, they're not paying me for this. I actually just freaking love it.
Right. Yeah, I know. Exactly. I was just like, I'm sorry. This whole video sounds like an advertisement, but I'm really just blown away by this service. So netlify.com/syntax to check out this service. Seriously, you're going to want to go ahead and sign up and just try it. Just push up a Gatsby site to this thing, and you are going to be blown away. Again, netlify.com/syntax. You can just go to their site and look at all of the different companies currently using Netlify. I think you'll be blown away. So netlify.com is just super duper cool. And it's not just Gatsby. You can post on that, what was that static site gen website we were just talking about. They have a little button that shows you all of the different static site generators that allow you to post to Netlify or easily deploy to Netlify. And it's like all of the big boys, all of the big dogs.
That's so nice. The one thing I'm seeing here is that they have form handling, which they're in beta right now, which is pretty nifty. Because that's like one of the few things that you might need a server for. And if that's the case, you're like, maybe I'll have to make a serverless function or something like that. But if it's all nicely built in, and form handling is one of those tough ones because you have to deal with spam and bots and stuff like that. So it's pretty neat that they're rolling that into, it looks like even in their free personal plan.
Yeah. And that's another thing. They give you a ton of stuff in the free plans. So if you're like a little wallet shy, check out the free plans, try it out. You're going to be blown away. You probably just want to give them all of your money anyways. Also, I should mention they wanted me to let you know that they are hiring. So web devs out there, which is hopefully most of you listening, check out netlify.com/career. Or just go to netlify.com down on the bottom of their sitemap down there. There's a careers link. Go ahead and click on that. They are hiring for all positions. They are hiring remote or local. And if that sounds like something you'd be interested, they are looking for you.
Wicked. Looks like I'm just looking at what it's built in. We use Go and C++. Wicked.
Yeah.
That's their back end.
Totally wicked. Great user experience all around. For the rest of this episode, I'm going to be talking about how much I love Netlify, and this will not be part of the ad, I promise you. So, but yeah, again, netlify.com/syntax. Okay. So we've talked about, what static site generators are. We've talked a little bit about why they're dope. We've talked about some flavors of these static site generators. Let's talk about some of the common pitfalls, because we just sort of hinted to one of them a second ago.
Yeah, it's anything that you might need a server for is because I guess the downside to a generated website is that at the time of generation, that is your most recent content. So if you wanted to use any sort of dynamic content, maybe if you wanted to like schedule a post to show up, then you would have to schedule a regen of your website at that specific time. If you wanted to do search, that's one. Like you can't have a search page for every single query that someone might search for. You can't generate that. You need it to be generated on demand. And there are solutions for all of these pitfalls, and they generally surface themselves in external services that sort of handle that piece for you. So in search, what's that search company that I'm trying to talk about?
Algolia.
Algolia.
Is it Algolia? Yeah. I have to like read their name. I have to be reading their name to be able to say
Algolia. Yeah. they're awesome. So if you don't want to have to handle search, you can use a separate thing. E-commerce is another one. Like if you want to be able to charge somebody's website. And it's funny that a lot of the times sponsors, maybe past or future, are the solution to this, because like what did we have? Snipcart sponsor a bunch of episodes a couple of months back. They do all of the handling of your e-commerce without needing a back end. So sometimes you do need to reach for these things. And generally the solution to that is you have to subscribe to some sort of service, and they handle the complexity of that in turn for you not having to build your own back end.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing I hit, or at least I noticed in the comments for my previous Gatsby tutorial series, the free one, was that like people didn't necessarily understand when it wasn't behaving dynamically, right? Like they would maybe add a new post, like I'm going to add a new markdown post, and this is going to bring this post into my blog. And then they would refresh their page and there'd be no new blog post. And they'd be like, what's up with that? Like, and one of these pitfalls is like, it's a static site generator. It generates a site, but to generate that site, it's not necessarily always going to do so on demand. You oftentimes need to generate the site. And at that point, it's going to look through your file system or hit your API or whatever. So the site isn't hitting the API every time you load it, which is a bit different than from how many other apps work, right? A lot of times when you work with an API, it hits the API every single time you load the page or whatever. This hits the API on build. And so it will not touch the API after it is built. So that's just a little thing I know people get hung up on. It's sort of like, well, why isn't this updating? You got to build it.
It's just HTML.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I mean, you mentioned the server-side functions. It's contact forms. It's funny. It's like full circle, right? Remember, like back in the early days of HTML, it's like you wanted a contact form, and like, what did you do? You had to have a Perl script or like a PHP thing that like all it did was send your emails. Yeah. So, I mean, here we are with static sites that have no capability of sending emails, and it's like full circle. So, you know, the services, like the fact that Netlify is adding in the email thing, that solves the email problem. The fact that like a hosting service like this could put in like email sending, yeah, that's a big solve to one of the most annoying problems, I think.
Because there's only a couple gotchas that we've gone over, and you generally need search or a form, and if they can supply that, I think that's pretty neat.
Yeah, when was the last site you built that didn't have some sort of like contact? On my scotttolinsky.com, because I didn't want to have to deal with it, I just did put my email. I didn't want to deal with the form. Just here, email me.
Yeah, and then it frustrates me because I always like having a contact form, because without a contact form, people don't necessarily give you the information that you need. So by having a contact form, it sort of like forces them into supplying the information that you specifically need. Like when I did freelancing, I would ask for specifically for budgets and what their website was, because people forget to offer up all that information.
Yeah, or they're trying to be like businessy about it. They're trying to be like, you know, I don't want to tell you what, like, I don't want to play my cards until you tell me how much it's going to cost. So yeah, if you make that a requirement, definitely a nice thing there.
All right. Any other common pitfalls that you've run into? I guess I have one that maybe sort of cut you off, but I do have one in that when I was building one, I was using a one called Awestruct, which is a Ruby based static site generator. And it worked great, except that the feedback was very slow, in that like when I was building a website, I wanted like to be instantly refreshing the page.
Yeah.
And I would save a file and have to sit on my hands for a second or two while it generated it, and then went and then refresh the page. And that was incredibly frustrating, because like I like a nice quick feedback, and I'm so spoiled now with the hot reloading of my React components that anything less than instant really sucks now. So what does your, specifically with Gatsby, what does that look like?
Oh, it is fast. they have some hot reloading. Yeah, no, there would be times. It's so funny because, you know, I've been primarily working with some pretty big apps, so the compile time it's not super long, but it's definitely not instantaneous. And being able to save a file and then before I can even tab back have that being updated is like one of the funniest things in this tutorial series. I'd be like, okay, and if we head back to our page, we should say, oh, it's been updated already. Okay, the updating, the hot reloading is super fast. Obviously, if you make like a new markdown file or something like that, you do have to like start and stop the build process. So there's like occasionally things. Well, I should take this back. If you are like, let's say you have a query, like you're building out your blog listing page, right? And you add some new markdown files, that blog mm-hmm. listing page itself is like that query is going to find all of the new files. But what won't happen is the actual page generation. So if you try to go to any of those pages, you need to rebuild. You need to start and stop the builder. But for the most part, the actual hot reloading, if you're working in just styling your thing or whatever, it's super duper fast.
Yeah, it's not so much the extra content. It's the I'm templating out and formatting and dealing with interaction, hovers, and clicks. That needs to be quick because it's incredibly frustrating to debug something with a 2 to 3 second delay in every change.
Worst. Yeah, that's the absolute worst. And it makes you like want to do something else. Like I have such a short attention span. If my thing's not like hot reloading that fast, I'm just like, meh.
Yeah, I just think back to before LibSass came out and I had a 10 second SAS build process. Yeah, and it was like color red. Wait for 10 seconds and then it would refresh
remember that too. Yeah.
For you youngins listening, I know there's a lot of youngins listening to this. Like you don't know how good you have it these days.
That's Wes's get off my lawn moment.
Yeah.
Okay, so we talked about pitfalls, we talked about flavors, why they're dope, what they are. Let's talk about some of the one of the things that goes along with the pitfalls is updating. Because think about it this way, you have a static site, you run a build command, you build the site, you move those files up, like an old school way, you would just drag them and drop them via FTP or something like that. And you make some changes, you add a blog post. What doesn't happen is site doesn't immediately update. I mean, let's think about this. One of the ways that it's commonly used to add a blog post in these static site generators is something through like headless WordPress, where you are only using WordPress's backend. The static site generator is hitting WordPress's API and building the site. Now, in a WordPress site, you'd be used to adding that post, going back to your app, your website, and having that post just be there. But since the site itself isn't hitting the database, the site needs to rebuild. And therefore, you need to tell the site to go rebuild or refetch that data. And this is true with like any sort of backend you're using. I mean, typically, you're bringing in data from an API of some kind, right? Maybe it's an API that's querying your markdown files in your file system. Maybe it's a headless WordPress. Maybe it's a headless Drupal. There's something called Netlify CMS, which is a pretty sick little modern style CMS here. This Netlify CMS is actually basically just a system that sits on top of your markdown files. So when you add new posts, edit new posts or whatever, it's just editing markdown files rather than hitting a database or whatever. But that is a big problem is, hey, you've made these changes. How do you get this site to update?
Yeah, I think that's worth it. And because like the big website that I was doing that was a static site generator, it was based on Drupal because I often think that people think static site generators are just for developers who are so hardcore and they write their blog posts in Markdown and put all their images, they have a script that resizes their images and stuff. And at the end of the day, that's not actually how real world users run their websites. Real world users want a backend where they can log in and upload their stuff and they can modify all their pages. And that's great. Like you still need a WordPress or a Drupal or some sort of CMS interface to manage your content. But it's really important to know that these static site generators can just ping your API, grab that content, and then they thread it into the HTML and then you're in good shape. You don't have to fetch that blog post from the database every single time. It's unnecessary. You just have to fetch it once at the time of posting.
Yeah. Yeah. So some of the big solutions to this is one of the, again, I'm sorry for coming across like a shill here or something, but like the Netlify service, one of the things it does is like, it looks for updates on your GitHub. Now, so if you're using like the Netlify CMS, which updates your Markdown files, when you make a save, it like actually pushes to the repo that triggers a rebuild and it rebuilds your files. So like that solution right there is pretty slick. But it is definitely a little bit more developer focused. Like to log into it, you do log in with a GitHub account. Now, like Headless WordPress or Contentful, which you haven't even mentioned Contentful. Contentful is like an API as a service. Basically, it's WordPress's backend, but you create an account and they're not expecting you to have a front end. Like Contentful doesn't take care of the front end. It just takes care of the back end and it takes care of those tools really nicely, right? So with something like Contentful, you would actually just Contentful and Netlify, they work together really well because like when you have like a Netlify hook that is just waiting for a post request to come in. And then in Contentful, you just say, hey, anytime I make a new post, send a post request to this address. And then what happens is you write your content, your blog post, your users still get the interface like a WordPress kind of thing. And then that hits that post, tells the Gatsby site or the whatever site to rebuild. It then fetches your new stuff and rebuilds. And that sort of essentially solves the problems, right, that you could have with this stuff. And that's going to work with Contentful or WordPress or any of that sort of stuff. You're just sending a post hook to tell it to rebuild. But the long end of the story is like, if you are updating your content, you need to tell the site to rebuild somehow.
Makes sense. And I think in a lot of cases, that's totally worth it, where it doesn't need to be instant. It could be, I don't know, however long it takes to rebuild and redeploy the website.
Yeah, yeah, it would certainly won't be instant at that point. So do you want to talk about our next sponsor? It is tax time.
It is. And I actually, this sponsor spot is going to be a personal story from the Book of Westboss. So the sponsor is FreshBooks. And as you likely know, FreshBooks is cloud accounting software that if you're running any sort of small business, you're a freelancer or a small business, then you can use it to keep track of your invoices, keep track of all of your expenses, keep track of all the different types of money come in. I just did my taxes. I had billed people in four different currencies over the year. And it's really fantastic. And one problem that I had was in FreshBooks, you can have multiple types of taxes. So depending on like where you're at and if you have different types of taxes. In Ontario, we only have one tax. It's called HST. And I had my assistant put in all my expenses in as HST and she typed in HST. However, I had put in a whole bunch of expenses as well and I typed it in as capital HST. And I was sitting there and I ran my tax report and my accountant was waiting for it. And it spit out this report as two different types of HST, lowercase HST and high and uppercase HST. Nice. And I was like, oh, darn. And there's no way I could go back and edit like 300 expenses for uppercase HST. So I called FreshBooks up, picks up on the first ring. I tell them what's happening and they say, oh yeah, no problem. And
no problem.
Yeah. No problem. We'll run what's called a script. And I was like, I'm a developer. I know what scripts are. We hung up the phone and I went and got a coffee. And I think within about 10, 15 minutes, they had run a script on their end and updated it. And that was my own error from not inputting it the same way. But they fixed it for me really quickly. Their customer service is fantastic. Which is pretty neat to be able to just call them. And I'm pretty sure, I don't know if this is still true or not, but I have a bunch of friends that work at FreshBooks. And I think that when you're, everybody has to take a little bit of time every year to actually work support. So sometimes you get developers that pick up the phone for support. I've called them a bunch of times just on little questions I've had about reports and whatnot. So their support is amazing. You should definitely check it out at FreshBooks.com/syntax. Use syntax in the how did you hear about us section.
Yeah, I've always heard such good things about their support. I haven't had a personal experience with it myself, but I've always just heard endlessly good things about it.
It's because they're Canadian.
Yeah. Hey, actually, we should talk about this sometime, but you should know that I'm actually, I don't know if I'm half Canadian, but I'm a...
What?
Yeah, I am of Canadian origin. My grandparents' parents didn't immigrate into the... United States. They came from Poland to Canada, and then they both were married and stuff in Canada. Marchand. I mean, that's very French Canadian.
Oh yeah.
I have Canadian roots here, Wes. We're not that different.
Wow, that's a big shocker. Scott is Canadian.
only half. A quarter, whatever. I don't know how
well,
fits in.
You should get that citizenship. You can come down here and get all that medication. We just passed this thing in Canada or Ontario where now if you're under 25, all of your, like, our healthcare was free, like you see the doctor.
Yeah,
but now all the drugs are free under 25 years old, which is unreal. I just got a letter in the mail that my health insurance went down because of this change. You no longer have to pay for health insurance for our kids, which is so good.
This is not fair. This is absolutely not fair. I'm very upset.
I was like, this is amazing. Like, I literally walked into the pharmacy the other day and I gave them a prescription. I showed them my health card and they gave it to me. There was no cost.
I think you could just swallow up Colorado. Move Colorado to Canada.
Yeah, just cut it off.
Yeah.
We'll trade you for Quebec.
Which is actually hilarious. I don't know if you know the hockey connection between Colorado and Quebec is that the Nordiques. The Nordiques, yeah. They got bust to Denver.
So. That was my team when I was a kid, when I like pretended to like sports.
They had
my
a great
team
logo.
Was
yeah.
The Avalanche, and I had a Joe Sakic jersey.
Oh, nice. Nice. Okay, so yeah, let's head back to last thing we wanted to get to, which is hosting. Now, I mean, if you guys are a fan of different static site generators, we probably missed out on a whole lot of stuff. We always miss out on so much stuff because it's like there's so much to talk about and there's so little time.
Yeah, we don't know most things.
And the last thing we want to hit on is hosting. And the answer, like the question is, where can you host static sites? And the answer is anywhere. You can host them anywhere. They're files. You can drag them. You can buy the cheapest GoDaddy host or Bluehost shared host or whatever and just throw them on there. If you have a simple site or whatever, it is easy to host them anywhere, including like GitHub pages, right? I mean, you could just push things up to GitHub pages. I mean, Gatsby has a build command that builds directly to GitHub pages, and you don't ever have to think about it. So that's just some of the hosting. You can also host on one of our sponsors, which is Netlify, which we mentioned just how easy and nice it is to host there with all those, like if you need features, right? Like you're not going to get that stuff from a GoDaddy host. You're not going to get the CDN and the email form and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, I mean, the answer is you can host these anywhere, but there are certain like upsides to hosting at a place like Netlify or something like that. Not to mention the free tier is pretty sick. So I mean, what's your experience with hosting these sort of things? I have hosted them on pretty much any of these options. I've hosted on GitHub Pages. I've hosted on Netlify. I've hosted on a basic DigitalOcean server that I'm using for something else. What about you?
Yeah, I think what you need to think about here is like I've done definitely my own server, and the downside to that is these sites get into the hundreds and hundreds of files, and if you're just thinking about FTPing these things up, as you know, if you've ever tried to FTP up an entire WordPress install, it takes forever. And the reason is not because WordPress is huge, it's because WordPress has many files. And if you're uploading many, many files, it has to connect to your server and do the whole handshake between the server for every file. And that's why it's slower to upload 1,000 files that are the much smaller than maybe like a 1 gig big zip, because that's just a single file, right? So that's a little bit slow. Then you have to have your own sort of build process. So whether you have a build process and you use something like rsync, which would just sync the changed files as well. So I've used my own Bluehost as well. What else have we used? Basically, just like your own, like for that large project, we used our own custom server. What was frustrating about that is it took 20 minutes to deploy. So as soon as the GitHub issue was merged, then we'd have to sort of sit on our hands and wait for that to be deployed. And a couple times we had some like major changes that needed to happen, like hot fixes. And 20 minutes is a long time when like one time, and this is stupid of me, but I left the debugger command in my JavaScript, which is not a big deal. But if you have DevTools open and you run JavaScript, it paused the entire website for for everyone. And it was a developer-focused website, too. So the chances of having a developer having their DevTools open was high.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's your audience right there. I know. Yeah. I know. I've done like I said, I've pushed up to FTP and whatever. And again, this Netlify thing, when I did it, I was just sort of like, this is the promised land right here. This is what I like. This is that stuff I like.
Yeah. You can also believe use now Zeit site. Is it? It's probably Zeit, right?
I would guess Zeit. But
oh man, I say everything wrong.
Yeah. Canadian. Okay. I don't know.
So Zeit's now does static as well, which is pretty nifty. So there's tons of options out there. You can explore them. And what most of these don't come with is the CDN that we talked about last week. And Netlify does come with that, which is pretty neat.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it. The hosting options are for static site generators. It's like pretty wide. I mean, we had our whole episode on hosting. It's like, where do you host and how do you host? And you set up your server and all this stuff like this. And with these things, it's sort of just like, who cares? You know, put them up somewhere. It's easy. I'm actually... I'm currently going to be moving my scotttolinsky.com. I'm going to be moving that to Netlify today because I'm going to take advantage of all that extra stuff. It's not getting any of that caching. It's not getting any of that CDN. So I'm going to do that.
I'm really curious about what I'm going to use because my own westboss.com needs to be rewritten redesigned. And I'm going to stay on WordPress because I've got years and years of content in there and I'm really happy with it. I just want to build something cool in the front end. I'm very tempted to use the WP GraphQL and build it in a Gatsby.
I think you should take a long hard look at Gatsby. As someone who just did an exhaustive tutorial series on it, I am so interested in doing more and more Gatsby stuff.
You know, it's one site that could be in Gatsby is syntax.fm because let me explain how syntax works is we have a tiny little server that runs and it serves up our syntax React site, which is built on Next.js. And then we have a little server that will, when you ping it for a specific episode, it will serve up the HTML, which at start of the app, it converts all of our markdown to HTML. So that doesn't need to be on demand. It doesn't need to be an HTTP request every single time that you want to view a different episode because it only needs to be generated once a week. That's how often we release a podcast. So we could just generate that as part of our build process as well.
Yeah, well, hey there. Good opportunity.
Well, will it happen? Maybe not, because I've got enough stuff to do.
Exactly. Right. I know. There's so much to do. I think that about wraps it up with static sites. Again, we probably left off something that you were upset about. So if we left off anything, go ahead and ping us at SyntaxFM on Twitter. We want to hear your thoughts on static site generators, which ones you like, which ones you don't like, why you like them, all that sort of stuff. I want to hear what you're mm-hmm. thinking about static site generators. Again, it's not necessarily a new topic, but it's definitely a hot topic. So I guess it's time for sick picks. Sick pick. You got any sick picks, Wes?
Oh, I totally had one.
Yeah, Wes is remembering his sick pick. My sick pick is is going to be a VS Code package or extension, I guess you call them. This is the JS Refactor extension for VS Code. And as someone who has been writing a lot of async await code along with some other stuff, this package makes it super simple to wrap your code. Like you just type your async await function and you finish it. And then you're saying, oh, yeah, I got to have a try and catch. I gotta always have a try and catch. So you just highlight your stuff do a command, select try and catch from the menu, and then it wraps your code in a try catch. Hey, you didn't even have to type it.
Oh.
And I say that as like, hey, it's the try catch thing, but it's not just that. There's a whole bunch of different things you can do with this package. Let me just pull it up here. Refactor, JS refactor. Okay. This package can handle, in addition to wrapping your code in try catch, it's essentially just a, like, it wraps your stuff, right? It can wrap your code in an arrow function, an async function, a condition, a generator, an iffy. You say iffy or IFFE?
I say iffy.
Okay. It does things like converting your functions to arrow functions, converting to template literals. It is pretty cool. I've been using this a lot.
This is awesome.
It's slick. Yeah, I can't believe I couldn't find this. I just started Googling around because I was like, I'm so sick of writing try catch. So I just looked for that functionality specifically. I stumbled upon this and I've been pretty pumped about it.
Wow. This is wicked.
Wicked.
I'm going to check it out too.
Cool.
Is there ability to, it has convert to an arrow function. What about converting back? Does it have that?
No convert back.
It should
only convert one way.
Once you've arrowed, you cannot go back.
Yep.
Cool. Stuck. I'm going to check that out. My sick pick is also going to be a VS Code extension because we did a whole episode on VS Code, but people ask me all the time, like, what are the extensions that you use? And I'm always going in and out of them, trying different ones and disabling them and enabling them. And one of the ones that I use all the time is just auto rename tag. It's very simple. If you have an opening tag, that's a div, and you want to convert it to a paragraph or even a custom component. If you're working in React and you have like a store picker component and you want to rename that to stores picker, you just have to rename one of the tags and it will update the corresponding closing tag, which is amazing because you don't have to do that like double cursor select. You just rename one of them and the other corresponding tag will update itself, which I love.
Yeah, I love that stuff. Modern tooling is just so excellent. So excellent. For free as well.
Yeah.
So we got some sick picks in here. Wes is currently taking a photo for Instagram of this recording session. I think I want to get into some shameless plugs because I got something to shameless plug and I'm really excited about it. I've been making tutorial courses for a long time. This is easily one of my favorite tutorial courses. And I think it's like very evident in the editing process, just how much I liked recording this series. Because as I'm editing, I'm just like trying to find the mistakes. I was on a level when I was recording this thing where I was just like, I was so excited about it that I just was, it was just coming out of my mouth and recording so well. So this is the Pro Gatsby series, which I'm releasing this week. It will be out by the time that this audio recording is released. So leveluptutorials.com/store. To check it out, basically, I cover everything you need to know about getting up and running with Gatsby. And we cover all the stuff from deploying, hosting, everything that we talked about in this show. We set up an API in several different ways. We import from Markdown files. We import from Netlify CMS. We import from Contentful. We set up this auto build process. We host on GitHub pages. We host on Netlify. We do all sorts of cool stuff. And not only are you going to learn how to build these excellent static sites like we talked about in this episode, but you're going to learn the insides of some things like the Node API for Gatsby or the data layer, how it understands and reads GraphQL. And we even have a little fun. I introduced the Web Animations API and we get a little bit of page transition going in there. So Pro Gatsby is going to be out by the time you hear this. So leveluptutorials.com/store, or you can become a pro and subscribe and get access to fancy series like this every single month.
Wicked. I'm going to plug, which one should I plug today?
Just close your eyes and point. They're all great.
I'm going to plug my ES6 for Everyone course just because ES6 is what, like maybe 2 years been out for now, and there's still a lot of people taking the course, but as you know, JavaScript continues to go and continues to evolve. So I had, maybe a couple of months ago, I updated the ES6 for everyone, and now it's ES6, ES7, and ES8 for everybody. I included a whole bunch of stuff on async await and Babel 7, and a whole bunch of new stuff that has come to the language since it's been recorded. The beauty of the ES6 course is that the stuff that's already there doesn't go out of date because it is the language. So whether it's promises or working with classes or getting a hold on prototypal inheritance, somebody was mentioning how they really enjoyed that specific video in the past. And this is more, we don't really build an entire application. This is more like trying to update your core fundamentals of JavaScript. So check that out at es6.io.
Sick. Yeah, make sure you do that. Cool. So, again, we want to thank our sponsors, FreshBooks and Netlify, for sponsoring this episode. Again, check out Static Site Generators. Check out any of them. They're all cool. Love them. But, that's it. Until next time. Yeah.
Peace.
Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all our shows. Don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player and drop a review if you like this show.